The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, Lord. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on its shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord. All right, come on up. Good morning, good morning. Hi, Stanley. Come on up. Oh. I can't find my keys. I was going to use my keys. Can you guys help me find my keys? I had them right here somewhere. Can you guys get up and look around a little bit? Come on. I mean it. I need help. You adults can help too. Come on, look around. It's got to be in this area somewhere because this is the only place I've been. Help me look around a little bit. I guess I left my keys there when I made the sign of the cross on my forehead. Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, this is kind of appropriate if you think about it. Baptism is the key to knowing that we are loved by God. Did you know that you're loved by God? Did you know you're loved by God? Did you know you're loved by God? Huh? Did you know you're loved by God? Do you know you're loved by God? Yeah. Do you know you're loved by God? Do you know you're loved by God? Yeah. God loves you. So, yeah. If you guys are ever feeling lost or afraid or alone, all we have to do is call upon God. We say, "Jesus, here I am, help me." And He's there. He's there with us. Jesus, who came to live among us, who came to forgive our sins, who came to accompany us, to walk with us, is there with us whenever we call upon His name. And baptism is our assurance. It's the way that we know for sure that we belong. We belong in God's family. Okay? So you guys can dip your finger in the water this morning. Dip your finger in the water. Make the sign of the cross. Want to try that? Huh? Want to dip your finger in the water? Sprinkle you. Sprinkle you. Remember your baptism. All right. So that's the good news, that the key is baptism, because it reassures us that we belong in God's family. We are His sons and daughters. We are His children. We are loved perfectly. Isn't that good news? Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We adore you. You are the giver of life, one who calls us from the waters of death into life abundant in you. Be with these children. Let them know they are loved. Let them know that you are always very near, willing to help, even when they feel lost or alone. Bless them and keep them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming up. Thanks for helping me find my keys. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you know that you are loved by God? We typically think that God created the world and all that's in it, fully expecting that that the world and all that's in it would remain in harmonious relationship with itself and with God forever. And then, as we read about the fall of humanity, about the fall of creation into sin and away from God in chapter 3 of Genesis, we think that God is surprised. We think that God is surprised that Adam and Eve sinned, that they hid, that they were afraid of God. And then we see God's grace and mercy that is poured out upon them as God clothes them and gives them God's protection as he sends them out of the garden. We see that grace and mercy as an afterthought rather than the true character of who God is from the beginning. There's a Jewish myth or parable that describes what happened when God considered creating humankind or creating man that may give us a better understanding of God and of creation. The myth goes like this. God took counsel with the angels who stood around the throne. The angel of justice said, "Create him not, for if you do, he will commit all kinds of wickedness against his fellow man. He will be hard and cruel, dishonest and unjust." The angel of truth said, "Create him not, for he will be false and deceitful to his brother and to thee." The angel of holiness said, "Create him not, for he will follow that which is impure in your sight and dishonor you to your face." The angel of mercy said, "Create him. For when he sins and turns from the path of justice, truth, and holiness, I will take him tenderly by the hand, speak loving words to him, and lead him back to you." Mercy and grace are who God is. It is the character of God. It seems more realistic to me, at least, that a God whom we proclaim knows all things would have known that humanity would not be easy from the beginning. Just like any would-be parent must know somewhere in their heart and their soul that their baby too will someday, one day, be a challenge. God created you fully knowing that you would be a handful. And so I'll ask you again. With that in mind, I will ask you again. Do you know that God loves you? In our text for today, we see a picture of the angel of mercy's struggle to hold on to what belongs to God. She's a busy angel. In Luke 15, there are tax collectors and sinners who come to eat with Jesus. It seems as though she's doing her work. She's bringing the sinful to Jesus to eat with him, to be restored. But then there are religious leaders who begin to grumble. This man eats with sinners and tax collectors. There is division in the family, competition, jealousy, fear, insecurity, and hatred. Does any of that sound familiar in your human family? In the story of Exodus, we have an almost comedic conversation between God and Moses, almost like a married couple. God says to Moses, "Go down from the mountain at once. Your people whom you brought up out of Egypt have acted perversely. They're worshiping idols. They've returned to their old pagan practices that they practiced in Egypt. God is ready to annihilate them." Moses courageously stands up and implores the Lord, "Oh Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people whom you brought out of Egypt?" Again, it sounds like a married couple. "Do you know what your son did? Do you know how your daughter acted?" The angel of mercy is the busiest of all angels, taking sinners by the hand leading them back, whispering words of love and promise, whispering words of forgiveness, taking us by the hand and leading us back to God. In each of these stories, I find myself wondering, who is God going to write off in this story? Will it be the people in the wilderness who are worshiping the golden calf? Will it be Moses for having the audacity to stand up and to remind God that this was his idea in the first place and that these are his people? Will it be the tax collectors and the sinners who come to eat with Jesus? They've been distant and far off. Or will it be the Pharisees and the scribes for their grumbling attitudes? Who in this story will God write off? In Luke chapter 15, we have three stories in a row about finding what is lost, about someone not writing off someone or something that is lost. Why three stories in a row? Because we are a write-off kind of people. One sheep out of 100, write it off. One coin out of 10, write it off. An entire sinful nation that can't toe the line, write them off and go ahead, God, start over with Moses. Sheep and coins. We often see people as inhuman or as disposable. Think about our world today that we live in. We have a humanitarian crisis caused by human conflict, by war in Yemen and Syria. And there just is not a human cry loud enough that gets politicians concerned enough to do anything about it. The suffering of children continues day in and day out with no relief in sight. Think about the world of politics that we live in today, Democrats against Republicans, ready and willing, happily to write one another off. Because we seem to be so far apart from one another that there is no middle ground. We see the same thing coming forth in the news reports about sexual abuse and sexual misconduct in the workplace and in the workforce, where women for years have been made and looked at as less than human. The tragedy we see in the whole arena of human trafficking. People are seen as disposable, as less than human. But here's the good news. God doesn't write off things or people. God does not write off things or people which God has made, which God loves, which God holds dear. God does not write off things or people. But instead, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 who need no repentance. And repentance, you must know, in Luke's gospel, is not so much about confessing a sin or a self-indulgent way of life, but it's about being restored into relationship with Jesus. There is more joy over in heaven over one sinner who is restored into their relationship, their life-giving relationship with Jesus, than over 99 who are already there. And it's that life-giving relationship with Jesus that changes our hearts. It changes our hearts and our minds about our neighbors, about others who we are tempted to look at as less than human, as inhuman, or as disposable. God does not write off things or people that he loves and has created. Do you know that God loves you no matter your sin, no matter your offense, no matter your disregard? And do you know And do you know that God loves anyone and anything that you are willing and ready to write off? You see, the task of a shepherd, the task of the shepherd is to have an eye, to recognize all that belongs to the fold. Moses, in the story of Exodus, Moses does that faithfully. Even when the people are at their worst, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your children, your people?" Moses reminds God that these are his children, that these are his called people, that these are people that he has brought into relationship in love and in care with promises made. And Moses reminds God that God must be faithful to those promises to be in order to be faithful to God's own character. And Jesus, our shepherd, Jesus does that steadfastly. He keeps an eye on and he recognizes, he has an eye for those who belong. Eating with the grumbling Pharisees and scribes, and even with the tax collectors and sinners. He does that for you and for me as well, inviting us to the refreshing waters of holy baptism and inviting us to his table to be nourished and refreshed, to receive his mercy, his grace, and his love and forgiveness. Instead of writing off, God sent his son, Jesus, to this distant land to shepherd us sinners, to keep his eye on us sinners, to rescue us from ourselves, from sin and death. Our God wrote off or sacrificed for 3 days his own son that we sinners might have life and have it abundantly in him. In Luke 15, the story we have before us, we are told that Jesus eats with tax collectors and sinners. What good news this is for all of creation, but what good news this is for you and I as well. In Timothy's first letter, he writes, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." In chapter 19 of Luke's Gospel, we're told the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. Dear friends, this is good news for all of us. It's good news for all of us who are sinners, who are a handful for the angel of mercy, who want to go our own way, who tend to want to do our own thing and make up our own mind. This is good news. Friends, do you know how much God loves you? Do you know how much God loves you? Do you know how much God loves any and all that you are tempted to write off? May you hear today the voice of the angel of mercy whispering in your ear words of love and forgiveness. May you experience the touch of the angel of mercy taking you by the hand to lead you back to Jesus day by day by day. And through those words and that touch, may you become open, may we become open to any and all whom we are tempted to write off.